You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
And the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bear with me as I read this gospel text again, bit by bit, and talk through it. There's a thing that has happened in the last few, maybe the last decade. It was the case for a long time that John 3:16 was the most well-known verse in the Bible, the most quoted. You would see it at football games. You know, someone would be positioned right behind the goalpost, and as soon as that field goal went up, up comes the sign, and you see John 3:16 as the football sails through. But this is no longer the case. Statistically now, the most quoted verse in the Bible is from this passage, which is, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And this is because this is every unbeliever's favorite verse, which they like to remind Christians of when Christians start feeling a little too good about themselves. Now, this portion of the text that it precedes that verse, that I don't think they know much about at all. And in fact, I don't know if we know much about it, or maybe we don't understand it. Hear what Jesus says here. He says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, so do to them." Is this really the gospel of the Lord? This is not the gospel as I understand it. The gospel is good news, and this is terrible news. I don't like this news. This news rubs me in all the wrong ways. Not only do I not do these things that Jesus is talking about, I don't want to. It's not like some of the other laws that you hear. You hear, as we heard earlier, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and strength. Now, I don't do that, but at least I want to. And maybe I'm told to love my neighbor as myself, which I certainly do not do that, but I would like to. Now, this stuff that Jesus is talking about here, this seems ridiculous. Show love to my enemies, do good things for people who hate me, bless someone who curses me, pray for my abuser, turn the other cheek, give up my clothing until I'm naked. To every beggar that asks, I give. And tell the thief that he may keep what he has stolen from me. I don't even know if this qualifies as good advice, never mind good news. This isn't the sort of thing I tell my kids. I try to tell my children how to be good people, and none of this appears. I don't tell them to pray for people who abuse them. I don't tell them if people take things from them, don't worry about it. I hear non-Christians and deconstructing Christians or former Christians say all the time that they don't like the church. Or maybe they don't like the Old Testament. Maybe it's uncomfortable. There's a lot of uncomfortable things in the Old Testament. Or maybe they don't like certain teachings of Paul. Paul has said things that they disagree with. But they always say this thing. The one person I do like, however, is Jesus. I like his teachings. I wish Christians were more like that. But I do wonder if they've heard this particular teaching. Who likes this? Who listens to this and says, yes, let's all do that? I think they might have missed that part. And listen, saints, it's not that I'm unwilling to be a good person. I am. I'm very willing to be a good person. I'm willing to do all the things that good people would do. I'm going to try to repay love with love. I'm willing to try to do that. I'm going to try to repay good with good. I'm going to try to do that. Far be it from me, a Christian, to initiate such things as hatred or evil. I would not do that. I will even loan to those in need, as long as they understand what a loan is, which obviously Jesus does not. What does it mean to loan and expect nothing in return? That's not a loan. I am trying to be a good person, after all. Well, Jesus continues and shoots down all of my ideas of goodness. He doesn't care about how good I'm trying to be. And says, yeah, but if you love those who love you, what benefit is that? Sinners do that. And by sinners, bad people. Not people trying to be good, like me. And if you lend to those and expect to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners, those bad people, they do that. They want to get back the same amount. But instead, I'm to love my enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Oh, and this is great. I'll have this reward, this hidden reward. And then I'll be a son of the Most High. I can be like my Father, who is merciful to the ungrateful and evil. See, as you start to read this, you start to realize that this text isn't really about being good at all. It's about being righteous. And righteousness and goodness are not the same thing. See, you don't know what it means to be good. You think you do. When Jesus thinks of good, he thinks of righteous, and we don't know what that is. The original temptation in the early pages of Scripture is maybe not what you think it was. In the Garden of Eden, Satan tempts Eve with this temptation: you could be good. This is the temptation. You could be like God. You could know good from evil. The temptation is a moral one, but not in here is a bad thing and here is a good thing, but rather you could be a moral agent. You don't have to be just a person that just trusts God, that lives by faith. You could weigh things in the balance. You could know good from evil. You could decide. And she falls for this temptation, and we fall for this temptation to make our own judgments. The original temptation is the thing that Jesus tells us not to do, the most famous verse now in the Bible, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And the devil came along in the beginning and said, "Wouldn't you love, though, to be one who judges between what is good and what is evil?" See, the difference between how we think about being good and righteousness is this. When we think about goodness, we think about how we might become good so that we might feel better about ourselves, and maybe even that God would like us more, that God would look at us if we're good and be pleased with us. But he's not, because we're not righteous. See, righteousness is different, because righteousness isn't concerned about being a good person. Righteousness isn't concerned about what is fair, because righteousness is not concerned about itself at all. Righteousness does not own a mirror to look into to figure out if it is cleaned up enough, if it looks the part. Righteousness doesn't compare itself to anyone else to figure out if it's more or less, if it's closer or further away. Now, we don't know what it looks like to be righteous, and it certainly does not look like what we think of as good It looks like one thing, and one thing only. It looks like Jesus. See, it is Jesus who loved us, his enemies. It is Jesus who has done good to us who hate him. It is Jesus who blesses us who curse him. It is Jesus who prayed for us who have abused him. It is Jesus who has turned his cheek to us who strike him. It is Jesus who has been stripped naked and given the clothing of his righteousness to us. It is Jesus who gives to all who ask. It is Jesus who demands nothing in return. It is Jesus who is unconcerned with himself and only with others. When we try very hard to be good, you might have tried very hard to be good before you came in here. I heard a story once of a man who was going to church and wanted to make sure that he was doing good things, so he got up very early and helped 100 old ladies across the street before going to church. Of course, the problem is that only 5 of them wanted to go across the street. I don't know how good his work was. Now, the original sin of trying to determine good from evil does in fact make us judgmental. And Jesus knows this. As he's giving this list of admonitions, as he's describing what it means to be righteous, he knows that the biggest thing that we will do if we ever strive to be good, the only way, how do you determine whether you're good? Well, you can't compare yourself to Jesus. No one would dare do that. You will compare yourself to other people. The truth is that at a church like this that has the gospel preached to it, say, we understand that we're sinners. We understand. But still, and I know this is true of me, if I think about the mass of humanity, and you just have to decide, are there more or less people in this world better or worse than me? I feel like I've got to be in at least the 50th percentile. I mean, I'm at least in the middle. And this is the truth for everyone that you talk to. Everyone will say, surely there's more people in this world that are worse than me than better than me. And I don't know if you've how you have retained your arithmetic, but this is statistically impossible. We can't all be on the plus side of this. And so what we do is we start judging. We start comparing. Dave Zoll has this great quote where he says, yes, indeed, all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but this has not stopped us from comparing distances. We have all not fallen as short as the other people. Now, Jesus gets out in front of this and says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken, running together, running over. Put in your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. See, Jesus knows this, in a world that has been thrown into sin by the desire to be these free moral agents determining who is good and who is bad and what is good and what is bad, this will result in us exercising nothing but ruthless judgment. And because he knows that you are a sinner, that this is a world that you cannot survive in, that judgment is always going to come for you at some point. You cannot measure up. You cannot hold up in a world that is built on judgment. The good news is that in John 3:17, which did not become the most famous verse in the Bible, right after John 3:16, that used to be the most famous verse in the Bible, we have Jesus saying this to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a man who had spent his life trying to be very good. And Jesus says this to him, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And so that you see that the goal of Jesus is not to make you good. The goal of Jesus is to make you righteous. The goal of Jesus is not to come and see if he can show you a better way to moral improvement so that you can be better than somebody else. He has come to make you righteous. He has come to take your eyes off of yourself entirely, that you can stop worrying about what is good and what is bad, and that you can live in him, and that in that life, then, you can live a life poured out for other sinners. The truth is that Jesus comes to save bad people. Jesus comes to save good people. And both are equally in need of it. He does not judge between them. He sees a world turned in on itself, a world full of people comparing themselves to each other. He sees a world in need of righteousness. So he takes all the good and all the bad that the world has to offer and carries it to the cross. He dies for all of it. And he does not just do that. And while this doesn't look just, and it certainly is not fair, he does the most righteous thing of all. He gives his own righteousness away. He gives it to you, expecting nothing in return. No longer do you need to spend your life figuring out who is good and who is bad, and if you are good or you are bad, you are something so much better than all of that. You are righteous in Jesus Christ, the righteous. Not because of what you've done, but because of what has been done for you by him. And this, then, is the gospel of the Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.